I'd like to talk about being more proactive in a place that we belong. We are fighting against a lot of factors in this world, as was mentioned earlier, about worldliness has creeped in the church a lot, more so as we see it today. People are engaged in a lot of different things, and it seems like their attention is not so about our Father's business at times, but it's about other things in life. What I want to do this afternoon for a very short time is talk about certain principles that will help the local congregation to be a place where people feel that they belong. I want to look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16 as of a good scripture to give us a platform. And here in this verse, the Apostle Paul tells us from whom that we are fitly joined together by which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of every part, that's making increase of the body to the edifying itself in love. Now, there's three things that I want to give you, and all these things work simultaneously together, but I just want to look at the first one. Connection or connecting. In order for the church to be the place that people belong, there needs to be a connection there. Remember in Acts chapter 2, verse 44, where it says that all of them that believed were together and had all things common. Now, we know in that context that was talking about those that had stayed in Jerusalem after Pentecost and that they did not have the resources to live, and those that were near the area, they made it so that even some of them sold their possessions and good and parted them to every man that had need. But think about what this verse is telling us about connecting. All them that believe were together and had all things common. The Ephesians 4:16 passage tells us that we are fitly joined together by Christ. We cannot forget that. We must continue to preach that. We need to continue to preach Christ. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. If we lose that connection, we will lose everything. So those that believe were together and had all things common. And watch, what's common? Well, it could be, what about emotionally? Does someone in your congregation need some emotional support? Does someone in your congregation need social? Does someone in your congregation need things that are physical? And you see, we need to look out. The congregation that I'm a minister of, when I first started, after service, it was like almost a football game. People were trying to get to their cars. But after 11 years being there over a period of time, we have to turn off the lights now. I have to ask folks, well, I hope one of you have a key and know how to set the alarm because I'm going home. But it takes time to connect. You need to be able to reach out and touch everyone. And I remember when I first started, as I mentioned, football, it was just like a football game, that when the service dismissed, everyone got into a huddle. But they was in the huddle with just their friends. It wasn't a huddle or going out among the members or really looking out and say, look here, who really needs my word of encouragement today? Who really needs that physical support today? Who really needs that socialization today? connection is very important. And let me just give you a couple of scriptures that we're very familiar with. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, as you recall, Paul tells us that we should not do things through strife and vainglory, but with lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. It is not about me why I come to the assembly. It is about the Lord, and it's about my brother and my sisters. And I really need to think about that I need to esteem them more than I see myself. In Romans 12:10, Paul uses very the same wording, but actually when you look at it in the Greek, it has a very strong rendering here. It tells us that we need to have affection and kind with brotherly love, honoring one another, preferring one another. But in the Greek, it brings out that we are in competition with one another. Now watch, not in competition with one another and saying that who is the best, but I'm in competition with my brother and saying, how can I esteem you better? Could you imagine that? The whole congregation is in competition and seeing who can esteem the other better. You'll never have any fights, would you? Hopefully no one's having fights today. But we need to have a connection. And what I mean about proactive, we don't have to feel that we're in competition with the world per se when we just need to do what the Lord says. And we need to do it consistently. The second word is a word of working. Working. And maybe a better phrase would be feeling needed. In Acts chapter 11, verse 29, it said of the disciples that every man did according to their ability, that they determined to send relief to the brethren that dwelt in Judea. Every man felt a need. Now, here's something that's very important that you will find out within your congregation. And let me say this. I'm just not talking about that it's going to work for certain people. If you have 10 members, you have 50 members, you have 100 members, you have 200 members, if you have 400 members, these principles will work. People must feel like they are needed within the congregation. If you go in the congregation and maybe over 2 months you have members just sitting there and they have not become engaged and involved within the congregation in some kind of way, let me tell you something, you're about to lose that member. You have to look around and say, look here, are those members, those new converts especially, right? You don't let them alone. Let me ask you this. Would you allow an infant baby just to be alone on one of these benches without someone supervising them? You wouldn't do it, would you? Why would you do a new convert that way? See, what happens sometimes, we baptize folks and we leave them alone. And we wonder, where are they? Well, they're gone. Because there was no connection. There was no feeling like, hey, I'm really needed. And you think about this for a moment, that these men there in Acts 11, notice that they did things according to their ability. We need to find out what are some of the strengths of the congregation. I tell you, the congregation where I'm a member of, we have so many members with so many talents. I'm saying, I'm so glad that you have these talents because I don't have any. When it comes to my hand, I'm numb. We have brethren that are electricians, engineers. They're great in technology. And you use these brothers and sisters. And I guarantee you, they will feel like, hey, you know what? Not only do I have a connection in Christ and with my brothers and sisters, but I am needed here. I'm needed here. Don't have a lot of time to go to 1 Corinthians 12, but as you recall, there, verse 22, it says, those that appear to be feeble are what? They're necessary. Even the member that may not be outspoken or may not have the talent, Paul lets us know that they are necessary and they need to feel necessary. What's the third principle? Probably the most important one. They need to be growing. Acts 2 and verse 42, what happened? After the 3,000 were baptized, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking in bread and prayers. Let me say this. It doesn't matter what age group. You can take the smallest age group of your congregation to the primary age, to the middle school age, to the high school age, to the young adult age, and then the adult class and the first principal class. And if members are not growing, if they don't feel like they're growing spiritually, they soon slack off. So just think about these three things just for a moment. You have connecting, you have working, and you have growing. And it needs to be simultaneously. One cannot be without the other. And it must be consistent. It must be over a period of time. It doesn't happen overnight. And yes, things have changed some. You have a lot more distractions today. But there's nothing like a place where people feel like they belong. And the church is the best place to be. It's still the best place. It's the safest place. Now, Jesus teaches us some principles. And I want to give these principles out because you may say, well, you've given us like three principles and they are simple and we just need to work it. But what are some things that Jesus teaches us about the church mission? And that if we miss that whole mission part that Jesus gave us, then we won't have a place where people feel like they belong, because the great commission is that we, as we go, we make disciples of the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, three things Jesus gives you. Number one, unity. John 17, 20 and 21, as we know, this chapter is the high priest prayer. This is the real Lord's prayer, John 17, where he prayed that they all may be one as he and his Father are one. And watch what he says after that, that the world might believe that thou sent me. When people come to your congregation to visit, do they see unity? Do they see that you're speaking the same thing? And yes, we are facing a lot of things today in our congregations. Yes, it used to be when I was growing up, and I grew up in the church. I tell the story that my great-grandmother died of 102, and at her funeral, we had over 400 people there. Majority of them was members of the church. It was because of her. And it used to be that you can go anywhere and everyone spoke the same thing, right? You can't do that anymore. And some of those not speaking the same thing even creeps within the congregation that wants to be sound. And that's why the teaching is very important. That's why unity is very important. And when people see unity, and they see the church is together. And that's what happened in the book of Acts. Just think about that. When we read verse 47, having praises with God and all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Those people that were around about saw how the church were together. They worshiped together. They taught together. They ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart together. And that's why we can't allow race, socioeconomics to be a part of our fellowship. We need to say, you know what? We need to follow Jesus' commandment to have unity. The second one is this, love. Paul mentioned Philippians 1:9 that your love may abound yet more and more. And John 13, 34, and 35, this should be a very familiar text to all of you, is that Jesus said, a new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another as I love you. And that you love one another. And notice what he says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Now watch. Again, Jesus mentioned this important point. He says, look here, the church need to be this way for a purpose, that all men may know that you are my disciples. When people come to your congregation, do they see love? Do they see members that are willing to give up everything? Do they see members that are willing to wash feet, right? That's the context, that Jesus washed feet. That means be willing to do the Lord's service just for my brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter who they are. There is a need. It makes a difference in a congregation. And then the last one that was already mentioned today is Matthew 5, verse 16. Good works, your light shining. That your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Notice again, Jesus mentions the Great Commission and these three important principles that the congregation should be doing and that people should be seeing in all of us. The first one was unity, that they may know that the Son of Man was sent. The second one was love, that they may know that you are my disciples. And then in Matthew 5, 16, that men may glorify the Father, which is in heaven. I spoke a lesson, it's been a while back, a year, on going to certain areas where, as was mentioned earlier, Do the congregation look like your demographical area? And I mentioned that there's something that every individual Christian can do. If you are a member of a local congregation, some here, and I know there are so many congregations that are represented here today, that you got to reach out. You have to reach out to folks. You have to reach in, and someone say, well, what does reaching in mean? Find out about people. You have to talk with folks. Now, going back to the theme of my lesson, how much time I have? 6 minutes. Okay, good. I'm going to finish before 6 minutes, I think. That it's so hard for some people to open up to other people. You know why sometimes, right? Oh, they're going to judge me. I can't be myself. We need to allow people to be themselves. People are hurting. Did you know that? People are hurting today. And the church is the place where people should come. Your own members should be able to be at a congregation that they can talk to someone. I tell the congregation that I'm at that you can't tell everybody everything because some people can't hold water, right? But you know what I mean, right? It needs to be a place that someone can reach in, that they can talk about what's going on in your life. And then reaching down, find out what they really need. What do you need? What does this congregation need? I am thankful to be here. I was telling Brother Hall that I guess it's been a long time. He was in the old building. And I just wanted to say it's good to see Zach and Jim and Jim Dearman. So I just want to thank you for allowing me to be here. I want to give myself that time and to meet some of you. I actually lived in Tennessee for 20-some years. So I was right over there in Knoxville. So I'm very familiar with East Tennessee. So it's good to be here, and I hope I said something today that will help you to help others to find a place that they belong. Thank you so much.